Hey friend, Graham Baldwin here with the Speaker Lab. Hey, wouldn't it be nice if someone gave you the exact process to find and book more speaking gigs in 2024? That'd be nice, right? Well, I'll tell you what, we're just going to do that for you. We've created a new 18-page guide based on Dan Irvin's process that helped him actually book over $100,000 in speaking gigs in the past year. Now, Dan is one of our team members here. He's a very successful speaker and also one of our coaches. And so you're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls, proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps. Again, that's plural. thespeakerlab.com/steps. We're going to send you that PDF guide right to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps. That's it. That's all you got to do. Go there. Hey, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. You're awesome. Hey, what's up, friends? Grant Baldwin here. So glad to have you here with us today for episode 417, for those of you keeping score at home, of the Speaker Lab podcast. Now, today I'm going to be joined by my good friend, Chris Ducker. Chris and I, we've known each other for a long time. He's been on the show a couple times before. And when it comes to building a personal brand, he is the expert. So he's going to be joining us to take a closer look at the idea of the youpreneur and what it looks like to build a personal brand. Now, Chris really credits the growth of his career to his reputation, what he's known for, and his network. During our conversation today, he's going to be sharing how these components have grown and developed over the years to create something that ultimately centers around what he represents and how that is ingrained in every single project that he's a part of. Chris is also going to walk us through the balance in building a brand, how to stay in your zone of genius, when to build a team around you, and why mindset always matters. He's also going to be sharing more about why you have to stick to one thing at a time and how to avoid burnout. Chris is an absolute wealth of knowledge. He's going to be touching on so many different critical components of building your brand, thriving as an entrepreneur, and what it takes to find your own success in the industry. He's also going to be giving the inside scoop of an upcoming free training that he is hosting. We're going to have a link for you to participate in that. I know you're going to love this episode, so let's get right to it. Here's my conversation with Chris Ducker. Enjoy. Hey, what's up, friends? Graham Baldwin here. Welcome back to the Speaker Lab podcast. Good to have you here with us today. Today, I'm joined by my dear, dear friend, Mr. Chris Ducker. This is, I was looking earlier, man, this is your fourth time on the show. We just passed the 400 episode mark. And so, you know, every 100 episodes or so, we'll bring you back in there. And so
it's like a centennial celebration every time I come back.
It is. I think that's accurate. Centennial, that would be right. Every 100. Yeah. Okay. I was going to check your math there for a second, but that sounds close enough. I'm going to trust you. Chris and I've known each other for many, many years. He's a phenomenal speaker, phenomenal human being. He's also one of the go-to people that I know whenever it comes to building a personal brand. And so that's what we're going to be spending some time talking about today. Chris, for people who are not familiar with you, how would you describe yourself and what it is that you do?
At the end of the day, the way I look at it is I am a sales and marketing professional. That's what I've always identified with, plain and simple. I've been in sales and marketing since I was 17 years old. I have worked for only three companies in my entire life. And since I left that third job, I have been running my own businesses for almost 18 years. We have three different companies, four different brands attached to those companies, and about 380 full-time employees around the world. And we love what we do, you know, and at the absolute center of everything is me. It's my personal brand. It's everything I stand for, what I can help people with, and the overall message of building a business based around your expertise.
Now, we've known each other for many, many years, and I know that many of the other businesses that you're involved in are not necessarily personal brands, mm-hmm. and they're brands that you're and companies that you're involved in, but it's not necessarily centered around you. So the idea of building something, you know, specific to you, centered around you, you know, one of the core things that you do that we'll talk about today is this youpreneur, and that you as an individual, you as a human, as a single person, you are the entrepreneur, you are the brand. So how have you thought about that and determine that in your own business journey of when it makes sense to build a personal brand, when it makes sense to build something that's kind of separate from your own identity?
Well, here's the thing. I think as an entrepreneur, I don't think there's a difference, quite frankly, because even our B2B companies, when I look back, dude, honestly, like retrospectively, when I look back on every major aspect of how I built my career, and obviously then starting and building our own companies, everything can go back to me and my reputation, my network, what I stand for, what I'm known for, what people say about me when I'm not around, which for the most part, I understand is actually very, very good. And so, you know, all these things have developed over the period of the last, you know, what are we talking, 30 plus years of quote unquote being at work. I don't think there's a big difference between a quote unquote personal brand business and like a regular brand business, right? Because as an entrepreneur, I'm at the center of everything I do from a business growth perspective, right? So B2B, obviously I'm not the face of the company, but I'll be interacting with our clients. And if I do a good job, then I know that they're likely to A, stay with us long-term, and B, recommend us to their peers and their associates and their, you know, friends and things like that. And so that reputational personal brand is injected in everything that I do. And then, you know, we have the more B2C focus where, you know, we're business to consumer or business to, in our case, you know, coaching / mentoring type clients. They buy courses or, you know, jump on board of one of our programs, or whatever the case may be. And that obviously is a slightly more, I inject more of me into that because ultimately people want to do business with me. And I'm just a big believer that people want to do business with people deep down anyway, right? Like we like the idea of, you know, working with a big brand like Coca-Cola or Nike or something like that. But at the core of that, that developing relationship will ultimately end up with us having relationships with individuals within those corporations. And so, you know, I just feel like at the core, we all just want to hang out with cool people at the end of the day.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. Now, one of the downsides of building a personal brand is that the negative side, I guess, is like almost like you're always on and it becomes very, very dependent on you. You are the face. You are the voice. You are the person that has to keep showing up. So I know, you know, in terms of content, for example, like you can kind of get stuck on a content treadmill where you're the one that has to keep producing, you know, whether it's a podcast or YouTube channel or blog content or social media. And like you have to be the one that keeps showing up versus, you know, Nike, you know, or some of these other big companies you referred to, they may have like different faces or different voices. You know, that's a little bit of a different example, but especially when it comes to a personal thing, like you have to keep showing up. And so the danger is like, you can almost be stuck. You it's almost like you're creating this job for yourself. So how do you kind of balance the, I want to build this personal brand, but at the same time, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to lean my ladder against this wall, climb up it only to realize like I climbed the wrong wall or I'm in a spot where I don't want to be.
This is something that comes up a lot in conversation when you think about building that personal brand business, right? What we want to do as youpreneurs, specifically in terms of my, that term that I made up and the way that I look at building an expert-based business, I genuinely feel that you should be looking at building a business based around you and what you stand for and what you're all about, but not 100% reliant on you. Now, if you want to build a business and have zero interaction with customers and things like that, hey, you know what? Like create the next best-selling widget and stick it up on an Amazon store. You know, like that's okay. If that's your bag, go play that bag, baby. It's all good. But at the end of the day, if you do have an expertise, if you do have solutions to problems that people are experiencing within a particular niche, then there's no reason why you shouldn't and can't show up in the right way, stay in your zone of genius, provide all that value, make a lot of really good money in the process. But there is an issue where people don't know when to step back, don't know when to bring on board team members to help them and things like that. So for an example, I don't manage my social media at all. My team does everything. I don't edit my podcast. I don't edit my videos. I don't write my blog content anymore. All of that is put together by members of my team. However, where I do show up week in, week out is on my podcast, right? And as you know, creating and publishing a podcast on a regular basis is a certain amount of work, but if you're doing it for the right reasons and for the right audience, it's also a heck of a lot of fun as well. And so I don't look at it as work. I don't say, oh man, I got to record a podcast today. What I say is, by jolly, I am so lucky that I get to record another show today, right? It's just a mindset thing. And I also know that when that audio is created and edited and uploaded as a podcast, I then can go ahead and create give that audio to one of my member of my team to be able to go ahead and pull lots of little bits out for social media posts, pull lots of little bits out for blog posts, or even a series, two or three parts of a blog post series. There's a lot of different ways that we get to skin a lot of different cats when it comes to the content creation. The fact of the matter is actually that we generally only ever create one piece of content once. And then we repurpose everything, because people who listen to something are generally probably not going to watch something, and vice versa. If they're a reader and a skimmer of blog posts or email newsletters, for example, they're probably not going to watch a 30-minute YouTube video or listen to a 20-minute podcast. And so we're just very smart with the way that we create the content and then repurpose it. But it can become a hamster wheel. The only difference is, can you learn how you need to handle things from folks like me or you or other people that do it already, or are you going to be on that hamster wheel forever until you burn out? We don't want that burnout to take place. And if it does, we want you to kind of recover and get back to work as quickly as possible. But it doesn't need to be as hard as a lot of people think it is. It really comes down to, you know, SOPs and systems and obviously team members as and when you can afford to hire them.
You and I have been we've been at it for a long time, and so we've been doing largely the same sort of thing for an extended period of time. And building a business, especially as a personal brand, is really, really difficult. And so we've both seen a ton of people who've kind of come and gone over the years, and some have developed, you know, very successful businesses and love it and love what they do. We were talking a little bit beforehand about a mutual friend who is just kind of massively burned out on their business right now. And so what do you find are like the difference between people who have built a personal brand and there's like longevity and staying power there, they enjoy it. You know, one thing that you and I were talking a little bit beforehand as well that we really resonate on is we love business, but man, I know you and I both love our families. We both married way out of our league. We have amazing families and kids, and we love life, you know? So how do you kind of find that right balance? What are some of those attributes, qualities, characteristics that you see between entrepreneurs who've built a personal brand and it has longevity, it has staying power, they're healthy, like emotionally, mentally, physically, versus those who just like they go all in and then they just burn out and ultimately they decide it's not for them.
There's two things I see here. And I think that like they shouldn't be skated over. Like they're really, really important. The first thing is that you should pick a group of people that you really connect with, that you want to serve. So with yourself, obviously it's speakers. You get the speaking world. You've been doing it for a long, long time yourself. You know the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the positives, the negatives. You can teach anybody to become an incredibly successful speaker, right? So you say, right, I want to work with those kind of people. I want to work with professional speakers or folks that want to be professional speakers. If with all of that experience that you've got, you decided to work with, say, and I mean no disrespect when I pick out this extra group, but if you wanted to turn around and say, right, I'm going to work with mumpreneurs, for example, you would still be able to serve mumpreneurs. You would still be able to bring value to them. But ultimately, at some point down the track, you're going to become derailed because it's just not joyful to you. And I don't want to go all kind of Marie Kondo and spark joy and all that kind of stuff. But like what I'm getting at here is that number one, you have to enjoy what you're doing every day. If you don't thoroughly swing your legs off the side of the bed when you wake up in the morning and jump out, bounding into energy levels and wanting to just drop massive value bombs on the people that you serve in your community, you have it wrong. And here's the thing. You're not a tree. You can move. Like, you're not rooted in one particular niche, right? Like, you can move from one niche into another one if you're not happy. And so I think that's the first big thing, is to get going with something, working with a bunch of people that you really connect with, that you really love serving. If you do that, that's like half of the game taken care of right there. The other half of the game is maybe not so simple to figure out, and that is to stick to one thing. And as a lot of entrepreneurs, you and me and everybody else out there who classes themselves as a true entrepreneur, we all know that there is such a thing as shiny object syndrome, and we want to try lots of different things and we want to launch lots of different products and services and do all these different things, right? But the fact of the matter is that if you stick to one thing at the core offering of what it is that you do, I'm not saying you can't do a few little bits, you know, in addition every now and then, but I'm like 80% of your focus needs to be on one set of deliverables, one thing. And that goes in your schedule every year. Like we just planned out October yesterday. We sat down and planned out the entirety of our calendar for 2023. The entirety. I now know everything that's on my schedule for 2023 is all the deliverables for my paying coaching clients, right? Like I know what I need to do, when I'm going to show up, and what they're going to get out of it. It's already planned. And that's because I love what I do, and I'm doing it for a bunch of people that I love working with. So they're the two biggies. Number one, find a group of people that you truly love working with. And number two, stick to one thing for the most part, and just kind of really dial in that service mindset of every time I show up, I'm dropping value. They're going to love it.
Yeah. How do you kind of balance the when you know you're doing the right thing versus when does it make sense to pivot? You know, because maybe you determine like, okay, I love building a personal brand, and I you know, maybe for the longest time I thought it was supposed to be speakers, but now, you know, I'm losing interest, or I'm more interested in some, you know, something unrelated over here. And so how do you kind of determine like, when do I need to be a tree and stay put and have the longevity and just grind it out? And when do I need to not be the tree and feel like, hey, it's okay to pivot. It's okay to course correct and go a different direction.
The answer to that is you shouldn't be grinding it out. That's what I'm getting at. You shouldn't be grinding it out. If eventually you become unhappy, and don't get me wrong, we will go through ups and downs in the industry. I mean, it is a bloody roller coaster, isn't it, right? Being an entrepreneur. So there'll be, you know, peaks and troughs and things like that. But at the end of the day, if you're in an extended downward direction of how you're feeling about what it is that you're working on 3, 4, 5, 6 months or so, at that point, there's no more grinding. If you grind at that point, if you stick to where you are at that point, then you do so at your own probably financial peril, health peril, and definitely happiness peril, right? And so you shouldn't be looking at potentially sticking where you are and grinding it out. That's not what it's about. It's about getting to the point where you call it. And it's a bit of a gut check scenario. Every good entrepreneur will check their gut on a very regular basis, even more so on big decisions like, is it time for me to pivot into a slightly different direction? And when you do that gut check, you go all in another direction, you pivot, and it is what it is. And you just let people know. Just be legit and honest with them. Say, I've been doing this. I've had a great run. I know I've helped a whole bunch of people, but personally, I'm beginning to feel a little unfulfilled. So what I'm going to be doing is making a couple of little tweaks and changes. And from this day onwards, or from the end of this month, or whatever it is, I'm going to be working with these types of people, helping them with this type of problem. And that's it. Pivot done. Move on.
So we've kind of been talking there about, you know, who you serve and kind of the problem that you're helping them solve. But the other question, I guess, would be just, you know, how you go about serving them, because, you know, building a business, there's a lot of different things that you could do, you know. So being a personal brand, you could, you know, you could be a speaker, you could be an author, you could be a coach, you could do consulting, you could do create a course, you could do go heavy on social media, you could create masterminds, you could do live events. Like there's all these things that you could do. And like you and I are examples of like, there's some things that there's like that Venn diagram of things that we've done very, very similar, and things that we really resonate on, and things where like, you love doing live events. You are great at doing live events and hosting a party. I don't feel like that's something that I can do or something that I have a ton of desire to do. I love attending a Chris Ducker party, but I'm not going to be one that's hosting it.
So what you're really saying here, Grant, is that you want me to do all the work so you can have a good time.
Basically. So I can show up. Historically, that's the way it's played out, and it's worked out really well. But how do you kind of determine like what's the best path to take to get to? I know I want to serve these people. I know here's the end result we're trying to get to. There's a lot of different routes you could take that gets them there. So how do you kind of figure out like what your lane is, and also staying within that lane, because there's, you know, the people who want to speak also want to do a dozen other things, and you can't do a dozen other things and do them well. So how do you kind of find that balance of what's the best path to take?
Yeah. So in one of our programs called the Youpreneur Incubator, I have this thing that I call the energy equalizer. And if you imagine a graphic equalizer in front of you, and it's got kind of like, you know, you've got the bass, the treble, and all that sort of stuff on there, and you move things based on how you want the music to sound when you play it. The energy equalizer works in pretty much exactly the same way. So for example, you might have things like speaking, book sales, course sales, coaching, for example, right? A part on the top of yours instead of bass, treble, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And depending on how much energy you want to expel towards that one thing, you will move that equalizer switch up and down. So for example, if you say, well, you know, I'm a true blue speaker, man. Like all I want to do is rock stages. That's going to be right at the top of your speaker equalizer knob, right? So if that's the case, and how much more room have you got in the other aspects when it comes to the energy equalizer to be able to do things like write a book and sell it, or to record a course and sell it, et cetera, et cetera. Another thing that we do, we have a what we call our six-figure incubator roadmap, which gives everybody, quite frankly, the blueprint. It's a road map. The clue is in the name. It's a step-by-step on what they need to do to be able to create an ecosystem of products and services and even experiences such as live events based around their expertise and the people that they're serving, right? So depending on when people join the Upreneur Incubator, which is our program, they'll jump into the roadmap and they'll be like, right, I've done that. And they can literally tick off the stuff that they've already done. It's very rare that people will come in not have done anything. So you're already like a hop and a skip ahead, so to speak. But then we have two or three pretty major monetization kind of proprietary training that we have in place. One of them, which is our pilot product, which is fundamentally at the core, a digital course that they record once and they sell over and over and over again. Many of your listeners will probably appreciate the fact that all of the people that they're serving, you know, there's probably only going to be 20 or 30% that will end up becoming clients. And out of that 20 to 30% becoming clients, probably only 20 to 30% of them are going to end up being high level clients. But that doesn't mean that you want to push people away that you can genuinely help. So a digital course, for example, can genuinely help you. And then the other two or three, you know, options of monetization are around things like speaking, books, you know, coaching programs, mastermind retreats and offers and all that sort of stuff as well. But ultimately, at the core of what you do, particularly when you begin, is, I believe, your true passion, right? In terms of how you can teach people. If it's from the stage, that's where the majority of your focus is going to be to begin with. If it's, you know, through a different set of modules and a training course, so to speak, then you develop that and you focus in on that. If it's working with people one-on-one, you can do that only for a certain period of time because ultimately that's not scalable. So you eventually will want to shift from a one-to-one to a one-to-many approach in terms of coaching a group of people instead of just one-on-one. And there's a lot of different ways that, you know, we can rack up a pretty bloody good lifestyle for somebody building a business based around their expertise. But ultimately, really, honestly, it just begins at the beginning. You're going to do what you feel the most attracted to. But just because that's what you start with doesn't mean that there aren't other options out there. However, the big lesson here is that just because you can do a whole bunch of stuff doesn't mean that you should do it. And it certainly doesn't mean that you should do it all at once. I remember when I was driving, learning how to drive, Vanessa, my driving instructor, lovely lady. I kept going like right towards the speed limit, which here in the UK is 30 miles an hour. And I kept going right towards it. So they have 29, 30. And I think it was my fourth or fifth lesson. She pulled me over. She said, yeah, Chris, it's a speed limit. It's not a speed target. You don't have to keep hitting it all the time. Just because it's there doesn't mean you have to keep getting up there. And I've taken that away, actually. I can tell you, you know, just because you can do certain things doesn't mean you should be doing them, right? So, yeah, I hope that answers your question a little bit.
Is there anything that you've seen, or like, how do we develop that discipline muscle to say no, even to good opportunities? Like, there are things, you know, there are ways that, you know, you and I and so many entrepreneurs that we know and speakers and youpreneurs that we work with who they're leaving money on the table, but intentionally. You know, there's plenty of things that we could do that would have an immediate impact, but that doesn't necessarily mean we should do that. So it's really hard to walk away from, you know, good opportunities. So how have you kind of found maybe, you know, discipline in yourself, or you've seen discipline work in the other entrepreneurs and youpreneurs who have built that, you know, that discipline and that courage to say no, even to good opportunities?
The big thing here is, I think ultimately when you start out, you can say yes to pretty much everything. You're starting out, you've got to spread your message, and blah, 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 blah. But eventually you will get to the point where that's not sustainable anymore. You can carry on and you can burn out and then you'll have to take time off, and you know, to recover, et cetera. Or you can be a little bit smart about what you do say yeses to and what you say noes to. You know, I read a book years ago. I can't remember who it was from now. I'd like to be able to, you know, give them a reference here, but they said something along the lines of like, your yeses are a commodity. And it's absolutely true. So becoming better at saying no, I think for most entrepreneurs, particularly personal brand entrepreneurs such as speakers, that becomes something you have to get better at over a period of time. You can't just say no to everything forever. But it becomes a priority thing. You know, like, yes, I could work a Friday. I haven't worked a Friday for 8 years, but I could work a Friday, book more coaching calls or spend more time marketing or whatever it is. And, you know, it would probably add another six, maybe multi six figures a year to my revenue. But I don't want to work Fridays. I like my Fridays off, right? So I think it really just becomes a priority thing more than anything else. But certainly it's not something that you just inherit and get started with. It's something that has to be earned, and kind of you've got to earn your stripes a little bit for a certain period of time before you can start saying no more regularly, I think, as well. You've got to be realistic about this stuff, you know?
Let's shift gears for a second. So we are we're recording this at the end of 2022, coming up on 2023 now. We are a couple of years removed from COVID. And at the same time, like, I know there are certainly parts of the world where they still feel the effects of that. And it's maybe something that, you know, we all live with for the rest of life. But specifically as it relates to personal brands, youpreneurs, are there things that you've noticed, trends that you're seeing that where COVID has impacted or shaped what building a personal brand looks like, and maybe kind of what this new version of building a personal brand looks like into the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest shift that a lot of people have made is taking a lot of their earning potential online. I think that a lot of people were relying on the ability to be able to travel, to do coaching in person, consultation sessions in person, speaking, obviously, in person. And I know many, many professional speakers who make upwards of, you know, multi six, seven figures a year on stages, who over that 2 year period had to pivot. And they went, you know what? What I really loved about a couple of them particularly, and I won't drop names here because it's not right, but like, I remember a couple of people clearly, I asked them like, well, if you were to charge, say, I don't know, 25 grand for a keynote in person, and now somebody wants to book you for a virtual event or to come in and talk to their company virtually, how much are you going to charge? And one particular friend who you know also turned around and said, well, I'm going to charge 25 grand because I'm still getting the same amount of knowledge. I might not be in the room, but they're still getting what I know. And I loved the confidence behind that. I saw so many people say, well, you know, it's usually 25, but because I don't have to travel and I'll drop it down to 15 or 10. Silliness, really silly, like reactive, right? And I just like people who are super proactive throughout all of that. But that's been the big change. People taking a lot of their earning potential, which would have been in person, to the online and the virtual setup, through virtual keynoting, virtual coaching as well, obviously online. A lot of the stuff that we've been spending time with our clients on over the last couple of years have been genuinely at developing, you know, going from that one-to-one to one-to-many coaching group style, limited coaching programs for 8-12 weeks, and then kind of more high-end, recurring, reliable mastermind type of stuff where it's super, you know, 1-3 grand a month sort of type of thing. We've spent a lot of time helping people build those programs out. And you know what? They're thankful for it because they've made a lot more money with a lot less effort because they can serve so many more people in such a short space of time doing it online.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about youpreneur, what you guys do, as well as the kind of the incubator. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? In addition, you've got a training coming up I want us to talk about here. So kind of give us the snapshot here. If people are interested in learning more about you, what you guys do, and then this upcoming training, let's talk about that.
So yeah, I'm so pumped for this. So it's called the Elevated Entrepreneur Experience. And basically taking people through a 3-day event. We're going to go for about 60 to 90 minutes each day. And day one, we're going to be kind of like reflecting and reviewing and kind of renewing where we're at with our business and what we're all about, how we're serving people, how we're making money, et cetera, et cetera. Day two, we're going to be focusing on what we call our P2P Plus organic sales strategy, which helps you get in leads every single day, clients every single week, with no paid ads, no burnout, no hassle. It's tested, it's proven, it's amazing. Everyone's going to love it. And then day three, we're going to be diving actually into that Youpreneur roadmap that I talked about, talking about all the different levels and all the different subjects and topics within that and how to implement your next big move to be able to take your business where it is up to a new level going into 2023. We are running it. I'm going to get the dates correct here. I'm not going to make a mistake here, Grant. We are running it November 8, 9, and 10. It's online. People can tune in for free. And you've got a special link for them, I believe. And they're going to just spend all this extra time with me and my team. And they're going to love it. They're going to absolutely love it. So, I mean, do you want to give them the link?
Yeah, 3-day event, November 8th, 9th, 10th. Again, like you said, it's totally free. If people want to check that out, register for that, you can go to thespeakerlab.com/Chris. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/Chris. If people are listening to this into the future, will the recordings still be available there?
Yes, there will be, but they'll be behind a like a paid wall, ultimately. So this, I want to say, like, the content I'm sharing, the training that I'm going to be doing live at this free event is the exact training that I give to my paying clients, right? We've watered it down a little bit for time and space more than anything, but this is the stuff that I teach my coaching clients day in, day out as part of what we do at Youpreneur. And so they're getting really, really good stuff. All they need to do is just show up and take notes and take action, plain and simple. And they'll get a very, very clear idea as to what the Youpreneur brand is all about, what we stand for, and how we help people go up to a whole new level.
Awesome. And again, the link is thespeakerlab.com/Chris, thespeakerlab.com/Chris, to register for that free event. Hey, Chris, we appreciate you taking a minute to chat with us. Always good to see you, my friend. If people want to find out more about you in addition to the event, just see what you're up to, follow the podcast, any of that type of stuff, where can we go online?
Well, at Chris Ducker on all the socials and chrisducker.com. I wouldn't be much of a personal brand entrepreneur, Grant, if I didn't have my own name.com, would I?
This is very true. This is very true. Chris, I appreciate it, man. We'll catch up with you soon.
Great to chat.
All right, there you have it. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Speaker Lab podcast. Now, I want you to know that we do this podcast simply because we want to serve and support speakers like you. We don't charge anything for you to listen, but in return, we do have one small favor to ask. Would you be willing to subscribe to the podcast where you're listening right now? Hit that subscribe button. Also, leave us a rating and review within iTunes or Spotify, wherever you listen to these podcasts. We read every single one of them, and they also help other people to find the show. Also, if you are looking to take the next step in growing your speaking business, be sure and check out thespeakerlab.com. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com. We got a ton of free resources and tools there, and you can also learn more about the programs that we offer, which include one-on-one coaching. Our mission here is to help you find the confidence, clarity, and clear path that you need to own your speaking success. So again, check us out over at thespeakerlab.com. As always, we appreciate you hanging out with us, and we'll catch you next time. You're awesome.